16.6. Listening. Part 2. Was Freud a fraud?
In most people's estimation, the Viennese psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud ranks with Copernicus, Galileo, Darwin, and Einstein as one of the greatest scientists of all time. In fact, a true genius. Well, how true is this? Professor Carl Abrahams says we've all been fooled too long. Is that right, Professor Abrahams?
Yes, the truth is that Freud is one of the most successful charlatans who ever lived. He pulled the wool over his contemporaries' eyes, and his followers continue to pull the wool over people's eyes today. Now, just for a start, there's no evidence whatsoever that psychoanalysis has ever cured anyone of anything. It's become clear that Freudian psychoanalysis is pure hokum, according to over 500 empirical studies of patients. Now, those who supposedly benefited from psychiatrists' treatment fared no better than those who were left to their own devices. Indeed, there's good evidence that it made some patients worse. Now, most professional psychiatrists know this very well, but the world is full of amateur psychiatrists, like teachers, social workers, probation officers, and even parents, who attempt to apply misunderstood and speculative Freudian ideas.
Speculative?
Yes, yes. Freud's so-called apparatus for explaining human behavior is pure speculation. Also, there's no concrete evidence that his methods even worked for him. Now, for example... The so-called Wolfman, this man who had dreams of wolves sitting in a tree outside of his house. Now, he had exactly the same symptoms and the same problems for the rest of his life after supposedly being cured by Freud successfully. Freud concocted a beautifully literary story, but he omitted certain factual details, and he actually added his own imaginative content. Now, this has been proved by detective work and other patients he treated. Very often, he clearly made an erroneous diagnosis, and his treatment was unsuccessful, but he chose to ignore these cases. In other words, Freud appears to have been a brilliant novelist, but a lousy doctor.
Now, Carl Jung's main criticism of Freud's work was that he'd placed excessive emphasis on sexuality and on childhood experiences as being the origins of neurotic disorders, wasn't it?
Absolutely. His equation of pleasure with sexuality was unjustified. Now, it's caught the public's imagination and kept it for the whole of this century. Take the Freudian slip that people refer to when they make a slip of the tongue. For instance, the best thing to do instead of the best thing to do, you see? Now, this is popularly supposed to be due to a man's desire to return to his mother's body, like Oedipus, but it's all absolute rubbish, of course.
But how did Freud manage to fool people in the way you say he did?
Ah, well, it's very interesting. Now, firstly, he consciously set out to create a myth of himself as the misunderstood and persecuted hero whose books were disregarded and poorly reviewed. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Now, just look at the medical journals of the time, and you will find long and enthusiastic reviews of every one of his publications. Some were even commenting back then on his genius. Indeed, the greatest myth of all is that Freud was a genius, that his was a truly original mind at work. He is popularly supposed to have invented the unconscious. Well, again, this is utter nonsense. People had been writing about the unconscious mind for 2,000 years before Freud. Indeed, it was being widely discussed by educated people long before Freud claimed it for his own. For example, his so-called Freudian symbolism was common knowledge in Greek and Roman times, and his supposedly new method of free association had been publicized by Sir Francis Galton years before Freud claims to have invented it. Now, other theories he claimed as original have been proposed by Pierre Janet, for instance, and so on and so on.
Well, all right, so Freud may have been a fraud, but how has his influence been harmful?
Well, three instances. Number one, by encouraging speculation instead of experimental studies. Number two, by encouraging nebulous philosophizing and so on. And number three, by discouraging rigorous clinical trials. Now, although Freud is not taken seriously by any self-respecting professional anymore, the psychoanalysts of the world are making a very good living from the gullibility of the public, who still believe that Freud can not only explain their problems, but that he knows how to cure them. In short, it'll be a long time before the myths, the utter myths that Freud himself so artfully created, can finally be expunged.
Professor Abrahams, thank you.
You're welcome.